Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, what goes into organising a flagship WordCamp. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Carla Campos. Carla has been involved in the WordPress community for over 10 years, starting out in Miami and taking part in meetups and WordCamps before stepping into larger organizational roles. With a background in media and marketing, Carla brings plenty of experience in both web and events to the world of WordPress. Carla joins us today as a lead organizer for the upcoming WordCamp US 2025, which will take place in Portland at the end of August. Remarkably, this is her first flagship WordCamp, and she's organising before ever attending. We discuss what motivated Carla to take on this major responsibility, how she balances the volunteer work with her professional life, and the challenges, expected and unexpected, along the way. We discuss the organisation of such a huge event, from working with a professional production company to handling the logistics, communications, accessibility requests, visas and more for 1,000+ attendees. Carla shares how the community side of the event is managed, the late night worries and what it really takes, both in time and personal commitment, to make a WordCamp US happen, especially as a volunteer. She also highlights some of the initiatives for this year's event, renewed efforts to welcome students and first-time attendees, including student ticket pricing and the WP Trail Buddies program to help newcomers feel at home. She also teases the introduction of a hackathon-style contributor day and new remote collaboration options. If you've ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes of a WordCamp US, how it's organised, how volunteers are supported, and what motivates people like Carla to invest their own time and resources, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Carla Campos. I am joined on the podcast by Carla Campos. Hello, Carla.
Hello. How are you, Nathan?
Yeah, good, thank you. Very nice for you to join us today. I really appreciate it. Carla's here today. We're going to talk about WordCamp US, which is happening in Portland. Actually, I was going to say later this month, almost later this month. We're recording it right at the very, very end of July 2025. It's taking place toward the end of August 2025, so it's pretty soon. But before we get into that, Carla, will you just give us your little potted bio. Tell us who you are, what you do in the WordPress space, and maybe very quickly just sort of tell us how the heck you came to be organizing a WordCamp, one of these flagship WordCamps.
I always like to say that my involvement in projects sometimes comes about serendipitously, just kind of like, hey, look, I saw that on the internet. It looked interesting, and I decided to join. I actually have about more than 10 years with the WordPress community in Miami. When I first moved to Florida, I started going to meetup groups, and then I met the WordPress Miami organizers and started really getting involved with them. My ex-colleague and coworker, her name was Jackie Jimenez. She unfortunately passed away, but we had a lot of great moments building things together in the WordPress Miami community. And when I saw the announcement online, I said, you know, she would have loved to do this with me. Let me check it out. And then that's how I kind of just decided to join the organizer group. So I've been with WordPress for over 10 years. I've been working in marketing. I used to work for Telemundo here in the Florida area. I used to work for iHeartRadio. So I have a lot of the media marketing background, as well as the working on websites and copy. So I've been around for a while. Just I'm more of like a quiet in the background type of person.
And have you attended any of these flagships? So the flagship ones are obviously WordCamp Asia, WordCamp Europe, WordCamp US. Have you attended any of those flagship ones in the past?
Is it odd that this is my first flagship and I'm organizing it?
I think it's great.
It feels almost surreal.
So just before we hit record, you said that, I don't know, something like a month ago, you caught wind of the fact that WordCamp US still needed some volunteers. Have I got that about right? Is it about a month ago that you became involved in the organization of the upcoming event?
I would say May. I think May. You know, the dates are kind of all come together. We don't even know what month it is because we're working on it so much in the back end. So I would say around May when I first saw the, or when I got pulled into the organizer group.
Since then, has it kind of taken over your life? I don't mean that sort of sound disparaging, but has it kind of crept in into all the different parts of your life so you've basically got no free time left anymore?
It has, because you think, okay, you know, even because we do have a production team that's helping organize the event to make sure it's properly handled for all the attendees, because we do expect around 1,000. It's always been that amount for a flagship. So we have a production company working on the back end, helping us with the production to make sure everything is smooth. But still, with that going on, I still feel like at 2 a.m., I'm thinking WordCamp US, WordCamp US. I know there's something I have to do. So yeah.
Let's split out what the production company do first of all. So I genuinely don't know what that even means. So a production company, I'm guessing you kind of offload something, all the tasks that you can to them. I'm guessing they're a commercial entity and they get paid to fulfill whatever contractual obligations that you've got. What is it that they handle? And then we'll get into what the community side of things, the team of community volunteers and so on are doing.
So the production team is making sure that the venue and everything that happens at the venue is organized. So from some of the room logistics, so more on the venue side that they're handling that part to make sure that we can handle everything else that comes with organizing, including all the planning around contributor day, showcase day, the photographers. So that's our side. And then their side, the production team, is more of venue logistics.
And so do they handle things like, oh, I don't know, the building of the sponsor booths and things like that? Because when you attend these events, there's a very, very professional feel to them. So it's not like you just show up and, you know, it's kind of thrown together at the last minute. It really does feel, when you actually stop and think about it, you have a great sense of, gosh, there's months, possibly years of organizing that's gone on in the background. Is it that kind of thing, you know, making sure that essentially, when you walk in, everything looks right. Everything that you can see, they do.
Yes. And then Megan Marcel, which is my co-lead organizer, she's heading that part. So she's managing that production company to make sure the venue and all the booths are on point, that they look like what they cost. Because, you know, those booths and everything that the sponsors spend, it's not cheap things. They're very luxurious, sometimes more than others. But yeah, so she's making sure that that's covered with the production team, that it looks 100% what the sponsors expect.
And okay, then let's flip to the more community side. So everything that is not part of the production team's remit, what are some of the tasks that you're finding yourself worrying about at 2 a.m. in the morning?
Actually, just making sure the communications and all the attendees are getting service. So I'm the lead organizer in charge of communications and marketing, and I have other team leaders under me, like Caroline Harrison, who is the team lead for the attendee communications. So we're getting a lot of requests when it comes to accessibility, food, that they have allergies or that they need visas. A lot of traffic, of course. Right now, I told you we had about 730 attendees already registered. So that email traffic is coming into our teams. So I'm just like, I saw an email and I know my team handled it and I know they're prompt, but you know, I wake up at 2 a.m. Did I answer that email? Was that a nightmare? Did I miss something? That's how it's been in my life. You know, like I'm having these nightmares that I didn't do something, but I did, because I'm a very responsible individual, but it just feels like that. It's become so intertwined in my life that I'm having nightmares that I didn't do a task.
When you get involved in the WordPress community, there's obviously so many bits and pieces that you can get involved in, but very many of them don't really, at the beginning at least anyway, of community involvement, don't necessarily have crunch points in time. Obviously, as you get more into the community, there might be moments you might be, I don't know, a release lead or something like that, in which case there will be a date in the calendar where things have got to be all tied off. But mostly, there's never that calendar moment where everything's got to be finished, but you very, very much are faced with a ticking clock, aren't you? Because come the date that the first people are arriving, the attendees are arriving, and presumably before that, the production team need to get in and set up all the sponsor booths and make sure all of that's taken care of and what have you. That's a curious thing. So the stress, I guess, does pile up a little bit. And it would behoove all of us who attend events like this just to pause for a moment and remember that it is done by a bunch of volunteers who have this ticking time bomb, if you know what I mean, in the back where everything's got to be finished by a certain date. And so I would just like to express my gratitude for the fact that you've stepped up basically and tried to fulfill that role. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the nice kind words, because it's been a little bit hectic, and you know, it's good to hear that people appreciate your work.
Have you actually had a chance to go around the building yet? I know we discussed this prior to hitting record, but is this more of a kind of, you'll be showing up the first time in the same way that everybody else will, or have you managed to sort of walk the floorboards, as it were?
Like I mentioned earlier, but we weren't live. I've seen personally the venue in virtual tours and et cetera, but I'm coming to the Oregon area a week before. So I'll be there earlier to see the venue, go through the walkthroughs and do what the team does earlier, so that everything's on point. But from what I've seen, everything's going great.
Do you get any sort of remuneration for any of the work that you do? So by remuneration, I'm specifically talking about finance. Does anything get offset? So for example, if you're based in Florida, presumably you're going to be hopping on a plane and there'll be the food that you've got to eat during the time you're there and the accommodation, the hotels and so on. Does somebody at the level of volunteering that you have nominated yourself for, does any of that get offset, or is this completely voluntary where you've got to dig into your pocket for every single expense?
This is voluntary. So yeah, I'm just putting in from my end to support the community. So if ever you are planning on joining something like the WordCamp organization groups, it usually is a volunteer thing. There are some scholarships, but that's, you have to apply for, and it's very competitive. So I don't think everyone gets one. But yeah, no, everything that I'm putting in personally is through my own finances.
Yeah. Again, obviously, I gave you some thanks a moment ago, and I'm about to do it again. Thank you for that commitment as well, because it's not nothing, you know, going to Portland on an aeroplane from where you are, you know, it's all the way across the country. It's not a cheap place to reside in. Accommodation in and around the venue is probably at a premium. You know, it's summertime. Everything's quite expensive around there. So it's not inconsiderable. And there is an impact to that. So again, once again, thank you for taking the time and also allocating the funds to make that possible. Obviously, events like this cannot happen without people like you doing it.
Yes, and I think they must be done. You know, sometimes we have to make sacrifices to bring together something that brings people together around WordPress, which powers people's businesses, their livelihood. So, you know, I don't mind putting in when I know that I make an impact in a community and helping those people with their livelihoods.
Now, you said that this all began for you in May, and we could get into what it was that exactly prompted you to do that. It sounds like somebody sent something in your direction, which you responded to. So what have we had? May, June, July. Basically, you've been into this for a couple of months. Any intuitions now of regret? That's probably not something that we want to get into too much. But do you know what I mean? If you could rewind the clock to, let's say, April during 2025, did you get into this with your eyes wide open, or has it ended up being much more of a task than you imagined? What I'm basically trying to ask is, are there any bits of this that you think, gosh, I didn't really anticipate that was going to be involved? This is way more than I was imagining biting off.
Yeah, the time required to do all the work that needs to be done. And I'm a confident person, so I went in this. I have experience organizing events for Telemundo, big concerts of 50,000 people plus. So I went in confident thinking, I got this. But as I got more into it, I just started to notice, okay, well, this is taking a lot of my time that I wasn't prepared for, but I've adapted and I'm good now. It's been a roller coaster ride, but it's fun for me because I'm that type of person who enjoys the challenge. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been unexpected for sure. So we've had ups and downs, but we're getting through it, you know, and that's the fun of a roller coaster ride. So, yeah.
What are some of the things that you didn't anticipate? Obviously, you said it's ended up being more time. So, yeah, more time has been required of you. But what beyond that, what are some of the things that you didn't anticipate that you would need to do that you have, in fact, ended up doing?
I think all the time spent talking to people, it's been really crazy. So I think I just didn't anticipate the timing. So I think I originally volunteered for about 10 hours per week leading up to the event. I think a week before the event, we're supposed, or a month before the event, we're supposed to be putting more in time, but this feels like a full-time job. Oh my gosh. You know, like I just didn't anticipate for that. So it's been kind of like we talked about before, merging with my normal life where I'm just like, oh wait, my to-do list for my regular projects and my family and everything, it is now part of WordCamp, if that makes sense.
So during the onboarding process that you've had over the last couple of months, how have you learnt what you needed to know? Because this event, I mean, it can't have been thrown together in the last couple of months. Presumably you came along and joined at some point where many things had been set in motion. But how did you acquire the knowledge that you needed to do the work that you're now doing? Who taught you all of this and so on?
Well, we do get the last year's folder with all the information. So it came about from a lot of reading, asking past team members. So we do have some people who were part of the organizing team last year. Gail Wallace, one of our co-leads, she's doing contributor day. She's doing photography. She's also helping with the lead organizing. So she was very helpful in just kind of letting us know about the previous year. We have mentors like Kevin Cristiano and Aaron Campbell from hosting.com, who also work with WordCamps in the past. And there are mentors who we can always contact on Slack. So we do a lot of work on Slack and we can always message them back and forth with any information, any, hey, we need help with this. They're always there to just say, hey, this would be a better practice from our experience last year. So we do have mentors there that help us. And that's been a big relief.
How much time do you imagine, if I was to ask you on a, let's go for a weekly basis, at the moment, so we're 3-ish weeks away from the event, something like that. How much time are you spending during the previous week? So the last 7 days, how many hours do you think you've clocked up working towards this event?
At least I would say 30 hours.
Wow. Okay. And so that then presumably has had a material impact upon the regular work that you do. Now, either you are just superhuman and can add 30 hours into your working week with no perceived, you know, there's just, that's fine. I can just add 30 hours in. Most of us, including myself, could not do that. I would have to kind of offset one thing with the other. Have you done that? Has it had an impact on the business, the work that you normally do? Have you had to sort of downgrade the amount of time you've been spending recently on that kind of work?
Not on my business, more on my free time. Yeah. So I'm not getting out this summer to the pool as I would have last year. But luckily, we're having a super heat wave in Florida, so it's too hot outside anyway.
It's like it's been planned.
It's been planned. The universe is putting a heat wave out there, so now I can't go outside in the pool. But I would probably still take my devices out there.
Has the team had any concerns around attendee numbers? Because I remember I went to this event last year and I actually don't know what the numbers are, but I'm going to guess it was in the region of, I don't know, 1,300 to 1,500, something like that, attendees. There's obviously been a lot of controversy in the WordPress space since that event. I wondered if there has been some anxiety. I have a recollection that the event, the planning of the event probably would have been happening earlier than it did for this event. So just wondering if you could speak to that, whether or not the team itself are happy with the numbers that you've got so far and whether or not things are kind of late in the planning, let's put it that way. Do you feel that it's all being put together in a rushed way?
No, I think we're on track. I mean, we expected the event to be smaller this year because there have been discussions around different things that are happening in just the space, like traveling restrictions, people being scared to fly to the US, different things that we knew it was going to make the numbers less. But right now we're up to 730 registered attendees. So we are planning for 1,000 attendees. That's our goal, hopefully more. But yeah, we expected that it was going to be a little bit less than last year, for the various reasons, including the travel restrictions and things that people do not want to come to the US for. But Portland is ultimately a very friendly place. And I think our concern is that everyone is safe and happy at the event. So I think we're doing a very good job with that right now.
I guess also there's maybe the fact that an event like this has happened in the previous year at the exact same venue. There's maybe a little bit that would be squandered there, if you know what I mean. So the idea that you get a similar number of the exact same people plus others coming back to the same venue. I know for me, at least anyway, it is quite nice to have the opportunity to go to different places. I'm going to be in attendance, so it hasn't put me off. I'm still going to be there. But I think some people do like the fact that, you know, it's in Portland one year and it's in, I don't know, Texas or California or whatever it may be in different years. So maybe that kind of speaks into it a little little bit as well. But yeah, the whole thing around traveling to the US, plus the obvious problems that we've had in the WordPress space around the community and so on. And then maybe this third piece of it being in the same venue and in the same location, maybe all of those conspire to not make it as big as last year. But still, 1,000, which seems to be the target number, is pretty credible. Do you anticipate getting to 1,000? Is the trajectory at the moment, if you were to map that forward, do you think you'll actually manage that? Despite the fact it's an aspirational target, are you fairly confident you'll get there?
Yeah, I'm confident. But I told you earlier, I'm a confident person. I'm always thinking positive. And we do have a lot of student initiatives because we want to bring more people into the WordPress community, more students that perhaps haven't even had the opportunity to experience WordPress and the community and how that can help them build their career. So our topic is sort of like the future of WordPress. And we're doing a lot of student initiatives so that, you know, everybody gets a little bit of that WordPress community feel. And that would, there's a lot of students very interested. So I think we can reach the number.
I certainly hope so. I mean, when you say students, I'm presuming from that that you mean younger people by that as well. So not just people that are in education, but really aiming that target at young people in education. It always struck me when you go to these events that the demographic definitely skews older. I don't mean, you know, particularly old, but you don't tend to find a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds wandering around in large proportion. It seems to me it's definitely in the late 20s, early 30s, 40s, 50s and upwards. So that's been a definite charge that you've had then, has it, to try and get younger people. Have I got that right? When you said student, did you mean younger people?
Well, we are working with colleges because they're very interested in how AI and WordPress are evolving and everything that's going around that. And through our event, the teachers that work at the colleges are very excited to connect the students with the future of the web and whatever's happening with web development and AI. They're really interested in sending the students there because even though they're educators, they're not the innovators. So they want to come to WordCamp to connect with those innovators, including Google. Google's liaison of search, Danny Sullivan. That was amazing to the students. They wanted to meet people in charge of the tech industry and connect there. So I'm talking about those students that are in the tech industry that want to connect with the industry leaders.
I think things work slightly differently over here in the UK, but I know that in the US, there's this sort of concept of college credits where you do a certain thing and it can count towards part of your educational program. You know, you can tick some boxes and it will get you to jump over some hurdles. Do you know if an event like WordCamp, in this case, WordCamp US, do you know if an event like that can count? And does that in some way then kind of make it slightly easier to sell a WordPress event into that student marketplace, if you like?
It can, depending on the teachers. Some of the universities and colleges already have their structured standards on how credits work. But if we're working with the teachers, sometimes they have summer school projects that they get extra credit that helps their grades. So we can tie that in with that. We're welcome to working with any teacher who wants to help their students grow their career and willing to give them extra credit and opportunities. So it depends on the college and the teacher and what already they have established.
Yeah, like I said, we don't kind of operate that system, certainly for WordCamp US. I don't think that would particularly count, but I know that those kind of systems exist. Just pivoting to you a little bit and the work that you did in the past, obviously it sounds like you've got a heritage in being involved in sizable events, credible events in the tech space and perhaps other spaces as well. What do you make of this event? How do you sort of see it? Do you see it as a sort of professional tech event, something that you may have attended on behalf of organizations that you were working for before? Or is this much more of a kind of community event? I can't really sum up the exact target of what I'm trying to say there, but I'm just really after a feel of what you make of the event in terms of whether it's more, I don't know, more friendly, a little bit less business orientated and perhaps skewing more to community, that kind of thing.
I think it's a little bit of both. It is a friendlier atmosphere from the different tech events that I've been involved in that feel more serious, because when you go to a WordCamp, you automatically feel that it's a little friendlier, a little bit less corporate. Yes, everyone is very skilled. They're very like awesome in their profession, but they're also very down to earth and just willing to, hey, share a tidbit here, a tip here. I've even seen people help other people with their websites live at the events. Hey, look, I'm having a problem with my website. It's not doing something on mobile. It's not responding the way I want it. It's not responsive. Can you help me? And someone will stop and say, yeah, let's sit down here in this corner let's go to that room and let me look at it and let help you a little bit. And it's something that I don't see at other conferences where people have this community feel. So I've always admired that about WordCamps.
Yeah, it's really hard to encapsulate, isn't it, what that thing is. But that thing is a thing. And what I mean by that is there is some quality of community spirit that definitely hasn't existed at any event that I've been to outside of the WordPress space. It feels a little bit more like heads down. You're there for work. You must concentrate entirely on work. And maybe you'll attend some kind of, I don't know, after party or something like that. But again, the entire purpose of that will be business as usual. And there is much more of a sense of camaraderie. And really, I suppose if somebody is listening to this and is kind of on the fence about these events, definitely I would draw your attention to that fact. And although if you are perhaps slightly more on the introverted side, it doesn't necessarily make it 100% easier to attend, and this feeling that you'll just suddenly be embraced by everybody in the hallway, it probably won't work that way, but there is definitely a more friendly atmosphere. There's a different, dare I say it, vibe going on, which I have always really appreciated. It definitely feels less corporate, more friendly. There's more of an opportunity to make friendships, for want of a better way of describing it.
Yes. And also, I'm sure you know Michelle Frechette.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone knows Michelle. She's organizing something called WP Trail Buddies. So she's actually connecting veteran WordCamp attendees with new attendees so that they can have like a friend, a buddy at the WordCamp that they can do things with so they don't feel alone and they feel welcome. So that's a new thing. And that sounds, you know, if a person is coming to WordCamp for the first time, they can go that route. You know, they can actually have somebody there with them.
I would draw everybody's attention. If you've never been to one of these flagship WordPress events before, there is something particularly good about this Portland one. And the thing that I enjoyed so much last year, I enjoyed the event, but the venue itself was so brilliant, so enormous. There was never this hint of falling over people. There was quite literally acres of space to mill around. And so the hallway track felt very much, you know, you could take 5 minutes out and go and sit in the corner over there and get on with your own stuff, what have you. But this would be a really good one to attend. So I would definitely advise people, if you're on the fence and you kind of think, I maybe should go, I'm not entirely sure. Everything is geared up. We know what that place is like. The conference center is absolutely magnificent. So I would definitely urge people who are wavering, who aren't entirely sure, to give it a go. And I will put a link into the show notes for the initiative that Michelle Frechette is leading, the WP Trail Buddies. And if you've got concerns about showing up and just hanging out and feeling a little bit isolated, then Michelle will be able to introduce you to somebody who has been there, done that, for want of a better word. Again, another reason to have a little look. And the tickets are really inexpensive. It's not nothing, but at the moment, I don't think there's going to be any change in this, but it's a flat $100. And in all honesty, you'll probably eat more than $100 worth of food in the time that you're there. So the ticket price is just absurdly low.
Yes. And we do also have a student pricing of $25 if the students show ID or proof that they're enrolled in school. So that's also like an amazing deal.
Now, the events often have a bit of a formula to them. There'll be presentations and they will run over a couple of days. So you'll pick various tracks and you can go and see this person and then come out into the hallway and hang out in the hallway. But then also there's this idea of contributor day. And in contributor day, typically you would select a table. That table will be aligned to some core part of the project. So it could be photography, it could be core, it could be, I don't know, polyglot, something like that. And you would allocate your time and decide to work on that for the day. I have a feeling that you're doing something a little bit different on Contributor Day this time around. Do you know about that? Do you want to speak about that?
We are, but it's a secret.
Is it? Okay.
No, it's a hackathon, but Gail Wallace is going to speak more about that in the coming weeks. So we're just waiting for her to share all the information about what she's been working on with that. But there is something new, which is collaborating remotely for the testing team. So that's fun. That hasn't been done before.
So the testing team will be open to kind of like a more of like a Zoom approach. So it won't just be people that are attending in the room. They'll be able to offer the opportunity for people to join live, but remotely. Yeah, that's really nice. That's a really nice idea. The hackathon. I was lucky enough to go to a hackathon earlier this year. I attended CloudFest in Germany, in Rust in Germany. Obviously, you're not able to reveal, whether you know or otherwise, what that will involve. For the people listening to this, I'll just give you some indication of what that might involve. And a hackathon, rather than just showing up and deciding on the spur of the moment what it is that you're going to be involved with, a hackathon is more of a kind of project-based thing where you come to the hackathon with a project that you would like to see finished in a certain way. So you might come and say, during the next day, we're going to try and do this thing. So we're going to move from here to here. And in that way, everybody coalesces on the exact same purpose and tries to push that thing over the line. And in the hackathons that I've been to, again, there's this sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek, fun, competitive edge as well, where at the end of the day, different people from the different teams sort of stand up and say exactly what they did and how they did. And then there's kind of like a voting. There's a panel of people who decide who the, and I'm doing air quotes, who the winner is. So again, obviously, I'm not going to try and get you to reveal any details, but that kind of component, if it is anything like that, that really does bring something new and a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah, I think people enjoy it. When it's friendly competition on something that they're passionate about building, I think they enjoy that, like sports. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. Sporty, competitive edge kind of thing, isn't it? Just sort of rehashing a bit of a question I asked a minute ago, though. Obviously, like I said, you've been involved in these kind of events before in different spheres. Is there anything that you think, if you were to rerun your time, and maybe you'll be involved in next year's WordCamp US, I don't know. Is there anything where you think, do you know what? I think we could try this, or we should jettison that. Obviously, nobody's implying that you are going to be the decision maker in any of this, but are there any bits and pieces that you think, well, we should definitely try that, or we should definitely maybe lose that?
I think we've had so many ideas and we were all just kind of thrown together as a new team. And there were so many ideas flying around that we just couldn't get to. So we're doing the best ones that we thought about, but like there were so many others that we could have included. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be joining next year or not. I haven't planned that out yet, but I think we're going to at least have a discussion with the organizers about just kind of like looking back, hey, what did we like? Let's leave little notes for the next year's organizing team so that they can, you know, they can know what to expect. But now we have a roadmap together as a team. So I think it's fun and we will be way more prepared next year and add more fun stuff that we just didn't have time for. But we're all very creative. So you know how those discussions go when everybody's creative, throwing ideas. And it's like, all right, we have to pick just three because all of these are great. But, you know, we're on a time constraint. So we must just execute these. So I think it's been fun all around. But yeah, just kind of getting all the ideas that we had together and executing them next year.
I think it's kind of an important moment for these kind of events because they've been running largely on the same format for a really long time. And there's definitely in events outside of the WordPress space, there definitely are some of these fun ideas kind of creeping in, making it a little bit more entertainment, if you know what I mean, at the same time as being educational and informative. And I think it would be interesting to sound some of those different organizations out, maybe go to the different events like DrupalCon and things like that and see how they do things differently, see how sponsorship works and so on and so forth. Now, one question, which I think probably will be rounding off the episode, if that's all right with you, would be to ask you, when does your involvement with this end? And I don't mean, you know, that you might get involved next year, because obviously I'm going to attend and the minute the whole thing is finished, it's kind of more or less over for me. I may go back to the hotel or spend a few days in Portland having a look around or what have you. But for me, the event has kind of finished at that moment. For you, I'm guessing that's not the case. Do you have any anticipation of what it will involve in terms of collapsing the event down? At what point it will be considered to be finished by the team?
Well, physically, we have to be out by a certain date and everything cleaned out. So I am planning to stay there a little bit longer to handle that with the rest of the team. But I think we should be done by the 31st. Everything should be cleared out physically. But then, of course, we're going to reunite and just kind of have a meeting and talk about the experience. And like we were talking about, what can we do better next year? And I think we're still going to be in talks at least 2 weeks after the event is over to kind of close it out as a team.
Yeah. So it definitely doesn't end on the day that it's going to end for me. So yeah, there's another example of the amount that people like you are doing. I would just draw attention to the fact that clearly this is not an event which is being organized entirely by you. There's obviously a huge team of people going on in the background, and it would be remiss of us not to thank all of them. Can't mention them all by name, but if you go to the website, I'm sure there'll be places where you can go and find out who is involved in the team. Don't forget that if you want to get tickets and you're a student, you can pay just $25 for a basically 3-day event. I mean, That's nuts. Or if you are not a student and you want to attend, then $100. And there are still, I think, some additional options that you can explore, perhaps sponsorship options and things like that above and beyond that as well. So, Carla, that's all the questions I've got. Is there anything that I've missed? Is there anything that prior to recording to this you thought, I must remember to say that, but didn't get a chance to say it?
I just want to say thank you, everyone, for even thinking of attending. It's going to be a great event. We have amazing speakers all about the future of WordPress and AI, how everything in technology is changing, what that means for your business now, or if you have plans for a new business, what it means for you in your career. It's going to be just a great place to network with people in the field. And I'm extremely excited. So I hope you're excited just like I am. And I hope to see you guys at the WordCamp US 2025.
So I should probably at this point mention that the links to anything that we've mentioned so far will be in the show notes. But if you do wish to find out more about it, head to us.wordcamp.org/2025. And as is usually the case, there's a whole bunch of links at the top of that website. So for example, you can look at the schedule, so see who's speaking. You can look and dig into the location and about it, and obviously buying the tickets as well. That's all going to be there. So us.wordcamp.org/2025, the numbers. There we go. Thank you very much for chatting to me today, Carla Campos. Really, really appreciate it. And very, very best of luck with the event. I hope to see you there.
Thank you, Nathan.